You do, I was glad to see so many pew packers for our class this evening. Thank you, parents, for getting these kids here for that class. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Follow along with me, verses 57 through 62. Luke 9, beginning in verse 57. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first, or allow me first, to go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Willie, Weird Harold, and Fat Albert were walking. They went down to the railroad tracks and were trying to walk on the rails of the tracks. You can just picture that. Anybody ever done that? Raise your hand if you ever tried to walk on the rails on track. All right, now kids, don't do that today because a train will hit you, okay? Back then, we got away with it. But have you ever fallen off a track, off a rail? Have you ever hit on your shin? I don't think anything could possibly hurt worse than a railroad rail hitting your shin from you falling off that rail. Well, anyway, there they are. They're trying to walk on the rails. And of course, Willie and Weird Harold keep falling off. They can't stay on there. But Fat Albert, he is having no trouble. And he's just going down the rails and having himself a fine old time. And Willie and Weird Harold said, Albert, how is it? How is it that you're able to stay on the rails? How is it you're not falling off like us? Albert said, I haven't seen my feet in so long. I don't look down at my feet. I just look ahead. I just look, see where I'm going. And that's the whole point of the Christian walk, is we're not looking down at our feet. We're aware of where we're going. We're aware of where we're stepping. But we've got to keep in mind where we're headed. We got to be looking ahead. Looking ahead has some very strong advantages, there's some powerful passages of Scripture that admonish us to look ahead, to be aware of what the prize is. And of course, I quoted this morning Paul's determination to forget the things that are behind and press on toward the mark, looking forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he's pressing on, going forward, looking ahead. Now, obviously in our text this evening, there is a warning against turning longing eyes back to the past, to the way things used to be. There is a strong warning against doing that. And of course, there is also in Scripture a strong warning about not being bogged down by the present problems that we're facing. By being so focused on what we're dealing with, having to deal with right now, that we lose focus on what we're trying to accomplish, on the goal. We can be so focused on the problems, so focused on when somebody tells us no when we're trying to invite them to church, so focused on trying our best to make a good impression on someone that we don't keep in mind why we're doing it. You know, it's important to do benevolence. It's important to help people in need. But there's a reason why we're doing it. It's not simply to get them through their hunger pains today or to make sure their power is turned on today. That's not our reason. Our reason is to try to help these folks get to heaven. That's called looking down the road. That's called being aware of what our focus is, what our purpose is. Galatians 6:1, which we examined already in our Sunday school class, Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season, ahead, down the road. Be not weary in well-doing right now, because in due time we will reap if we do not faint. Colossians 3 and 2 tells us to set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. That's looking ahead. Now, how do we go about doing this? Well, we recognize the promise of God. We remember the promise of God. In 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Looking forward to it. It's not here yet. It's not going to be here right now. We're looking forward to it. It is in the future. The promise of God that he will keep us going, that he will help us keep going. And this should motivate us to keep going, not to give up. That God will never leave us nor forsake us, that we're not alone on this journey. God is with us every step of the way, but we've got a prize at the end if we will keep on going. So we go, we look ahead according to the promise that God made. We look ahead carefully. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So obviously you've got to be focused on where you're headed, but you keep looking ahead and you'll find it. At Robert Nelm's funeral, I'll never forget that story about where he was teaching Jamie, I guess it was, how to plow. And Jamie kept looking off the side of the tractor, looking down at the front wheel of the tractor, trying to steer the thing, trying to, you know, hold it straight. And, of course, fields are bumpy and lumpy, and there's dips and ridges. And so it's hard to just keep that thing focused, that line. And Robert kept trying to get him to look ahead, look on out there. And he'd bop him on the side of the head and say, "Boy, straighten up." And he'd finally straighten up. And then he said about 50 times it finally got through his head. Robert is trying to get him to plow straight. And he says, "How do I do it? You can't look down here where you are. You got to look out there where you're going. You got to look out there where you're going. And if you'll focus, pick you a spot at the end and focus on that, you'll go to it. You'll go to it." When I first tried to learn to drive a car, I was trying to steer the car instead of driving the car. I was looking, trying to aim the car, aiming the car. I wanted a hood ornament. And my second car did not have a hood ornament, and I was upset. My first car cost me $63. It was a Ford Falcon Fairlane, and it was a Fred Flintstone car. You could literally put your feet on the road while trying to drive. You could. We got a piece of roofing tin and laid across the hole in the floor, and that's how we was able to steer the thing. It was a 63 model, and I bought it for $63. I wouldn't mind a 2018 that I could buy for $2018. Would you be willing to do that? Well, it doesn't work like that, does it? But the thing is, that car had a hood ornament, and it made it easy for me to look over that thing and try to steer the car, but it don't work like that. You got to look where you're going. You got to look where you're going. And so we got to go carefully. Diligently, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Hebrews 12:15. And of course, we look ahead in faith. Faith will be made sight one day. When we get to heaven, it will no longer be faith. It will be sight. We will see it. We will see it. And seeing is believing, they say. But Jesus said, "Blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe." And that's what we are. We are people that have not yet seen, but we believe that God has a place for us, that he's got a home for us, and that we're looking toward that home. Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So, what are we looking at? Huh? We're looking ahead, but what are we looking at? Well, we're not looking at the visible things. We're not picking a spot out on the end of a field like a tree or a rock or a hillside in the distance. We're not looking for physical things. We're looking for things that are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. We're looking to Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. But it tells us we're to look to Jesus, looking to Christ. We are looking at the perfect law of liberty, but we're not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And that way we will be blessed in our deed. By looking into the perfect law of liberty and not forgetting it, but doing it, putting it in practice in our lives. The perfect law. And then, of course, we're told in Galatians 6, 1 through 10, to look to yourselves. Look to yourselves to make sure that you're walking worthy of the calling. Look to yourself to make sure you are following the Lord, that you're doing His will. Are you living right? Oh, I have no doubt but what that you're morally upright. But are you spiritually minded? Are you focused on changing bad attitudes and bad tempers and bad habits? Are you focused on taking up things that are wholesome and right and trying to be more and more like Jesus every day? That's what is being we're admonished to do in Galatians 6 and verse 10. Are we being faithful with our responsibilities to God to do the things that He has told us to do? So we're admonished to look ahead. How we do it is carefully and in faith, remembering the promises of God. And we're looking ahead to Christ. We're looking through the perfect law of liberty. And we're looking ahead, being aware of ourselves, lest we fall short of God's glory. Now, what are you actually looking forward to, though? Well, we're not looking forward to death. No. None of us are. Not really. It's a new experience, and it's something we have no experience with. We really, even though we've seen loved ones die, we've seen others die, but we've not experienced it ourselves. We have no frame of reference. So we don't, any of us, look forward to dying. But we do look forward to the second coming of Jesus. We look forward to His return. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. We're looking, according to Jude verse 21, we're looking for God's mercy. We're looking for God's mercy, looking ahead for God's mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Thank God they are, because we need them. And we're looking ahead for in hope for the glory that God has waiting for us, according to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Why do we need to do that, though? Why can't we just be aware of what's going on around us right now and just let God deal with the future? Why is it we're admonished to look ahead? Well, according to Luke 12:36, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord. We are like men that wait for their Lord, according to the parable Jesus told in Luke 12:36. We're told to look ahead in order to be ready, to make sure that we are ready when that time comes. And the only way to do that is to stay ready, isn't it? That's the only way. To be ready when the Lord comes is to stay ready right now, because we don't know when He's going to come back. And when we need to look ahead in order to avoid bitterness. If I am focused only on what's going on around me, the muck and the mire, the stains and the scars, the pain and the anguish, the disappointment, the heartache and heartbreak, if I am focused on all the suffering that's going on around me in this world, it's very easy for me to get bitter. If I consider and remember all the bad things that have been said about me, and there have been bad things said about me, if that's what I'm focused on, if I'm focused on the bad attitudes that people have had toward me, the mistreatment that I have received, if I'm focused on that, it's very easy for me to become bitter. So I'm not supposed to remember and hang on to all this stuff that's going on around me. I'm to forget the things that are behind and press on. I am to look ahead in order to avoid bitterness. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. One verse only in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 15. Hebrews 12 and verse 15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Looking diligently. Looking diligently. We've got to be diligent to make sure that we are not allowing ourselves to be bitter about how the hard things that life has thrown at us. And believe me, some of you have had some hard things thrown at you. Some of you have had to deal with some very difficult and painful things. You have been mistreated and misjudged and misunderstood. But you can't let yourself get bogged down in that muck and that mire, because if it makes you bitter, you will turn away from God. Avoiding bitterness is one reason why we look ahead, why we keep our eye on the prize, if you follow that analogy. We also look ahead lest we be tempted. If we look off to the left and we look off to the right, if we notice the wind and the waves about us, we will not walk on the water. We will sink. We will sink. If we take our eyes off Jesus, we will be tempted. We will. It's inevitable. It's unavoidable, because temptations are all around us. There are so many pleasures in this world that God will not tolerate His people participating in. There are so many. Oh, and they're fun. They're fun. You know, television portrays drunks as lovable. Lovable. Just lovable folk that are laughing and having a good time, and they never show you the vomiting their lungs out in the toilet. They never show you the headaches and the brain damage, the memory loss, and the broken families. They don't show you how the rent wasn't paid or the groceries weren't bought, how that the repossessors are coming to repossess everything that's been bought, because daddy or mama won't lay down the bottle. They don't show you that. There are things that in this world may appear to be fun, but there's a terrible price to be paid for participating in those things. And we will be tempted if we take our eyes off Jesus. And yet, Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overcome in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." We got to keep our eyes on Jesus, lest we be tempted. Looking ahead. And of course, James 1:25, as we cited a moment ago, looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing in it, not being a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So looking ahead will bring blessing to us if we will continue in God's word. Now, what's it going to do for us? What's it going to do for us? Well, it's going to help us to be faithful. It's going to help us to be motivated to keep living right. It's going to help us overcome temptation. And it's going to help us to have that desire to serve the Lord, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. It'll help us in running the race, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It'll help us to live holy, upright, godly lives, 2 Peter 3, verses 11 through 18. It'll help us to be diligent in our service to the Lord if we will focus on what's ahead. Focus on what God has in store for us. And I'm telling you, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the imagination of the heart of men what God has in store for His faithful followers. It will be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. And so let us keep our eyes on the prize, and let's keep focusing our attention on Jesus, who walked before us, who is showing us the way. He is ahead of us. We are to follow Him. To follow Him, we have to keep our eyes on Him. So let's keep looking ahead, shall we? I appreciate your kind attention this evening. I hope that something said tonight has stirred your heart to help you want to be even stronger and more faithful, more determined to be a child of God, more determined to be a faithful Christian. If there is sin in your life, you need to repent of it. You need to give God a chance to forgive you. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. And I'm looking at this crowd. Everybody here knows what you must do to be saved. If you haven't been saved, you need to do it. You need to obey the Lord. And if you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful for whatever the situation, whatever the reason, or if there's something you're struggling with and you want the prayers of this congregation, let that be known. We'll be glad to help you any way we can. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.